You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to yet again another edition of Locked On Broncos. It is a Friday. Happy Friday over here. It's an orange Friday in Broncos country, as always. And like every single day, we bring you a daily Broncos bite-sized podcast, keeping to you within 30 minutes or less of the best insight, news, analysis, and coverage of all things orange and blue. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. And today, I'm joined by my man, Cameron Parker, co-host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Cameron, happy Friday, man. I'm excited for the weekend. You know, we got a lot of things going on as we prepare for the NFL free agency period. As well, and like always, and this is part of the offseason, anytime you have no news, that is good news in Broncos country.
Or in the case of sometimes no news means there's still potential news. I think that that's kind of the best part about the NFL offseason, because you can there's rumors, there's people creating rumors, so it just affords opportunity for rumors to spread. As Cody said, I am the co-host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. You guys can follow me on Twitter, at Cam Parker NFL. Cody, we got a pretty massive and, shall we say, great show lined up for our Locked On Broncos listeners, which, by the way, if you guys have not listened to the show yet, please leave a review on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Listen on iTunes, and please leave a review and leave your Twitter handle, and we may or may not follow you back. Depends on how nice you are.
We'll always follow you guys back, and as well as if you leave your Twitter handle in the review, you'll be entered into every single Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. We got one coming up here. We're going to announce the contest details on Valentine's Day. We're going to get back to Broncos country for being awesome, as always. And you mentioned something at the beginning of your little introduction there, Cameron, about rumors, and we hear a lot of rumors. Now, one of the biggest ones that we want to put fire out to, we kind of talked about Matt Paradis yesterday, but some guy, some draft takes dude, mentioned something out on Twitter about, you know, multiple of his sources telling him that Matt Paradis is very disliked in the locker room. And I'll tell you what, whoever gave him that information is, you know, they probably have Ja Rule as their financial advisor. You know, some of you might get that reference, but if not, that's okay. But at the end of the day, Matt Paradis, you know, he wouldn't be a team captain, and this is a great point that many people have made. He wouldn't have been a team captain that his teammates had voted for to be a team captain if he was disliked in the locker room. It is so far from the truth. I've been at training camp. I've had a chance to interact with Matt Paradis. Very nice guy. Case Keenum loves to smack him on the butt when he runs out for practice. That's GIF worthy as well. But, you know, the thing is, people I've talked to around Broncos country and inside the Broncos organization, they laughed at that entire notion because it is so false. Matt Paradis is one of the guys that does everything for his teammates. He, you know, he played through injury. He got his hip surgery obviously fixed in the prior offseason. That allowed him to play even better this year. And unfortunately, freak injury for him. And definitely, we want to go back and hopefully that the Broncos can find ground to re-sign and bring back Matt Paradis, because he's loved in the locker room. He's loved in the local media, very nice guy, very humble, hardworking guy. At that, you know, if I could say anything more about him, I could rant all day about just how good of a person and player that Matt Paradis is for the Denver Broncos. So today's show, we're going to reflect, because yesterday was the three-year anniversary of Broncos Super Bowl 50, the epic win. We're going to reflect on that. What led up to our thoughts as analysts or people covering the Denver Broncos before that matchup? We're going to talk about the media circus prior to that matchup. We're going to talk about the game, our best moments, one of the things that we remember very dearly, and it's definitely something I think Broncos country resonates with very, very well. So let's dive right into it. We launched a Locked On Broncos poll of the day over at Cody Rourke NFL, and I asked the question of Broncos country. I think it's important. I asked, is Broncos country willing to give Case Keenum another chance this season under a new experienced coaching staff. And what I mean by that is, obviously, he's the starting quarterback. He will be the starting quarterback in 2019 regardless. I'm talking more so along the lines, are fans willing to give him another chance to see how he does under a new offensive coordinator, a new culture, and, you know, obviously an experienced coaching staff, teams that are utilized to his strengths and his abilities as a player? Are Broncos fans willing to give him another chance to see if this might be the year that we see the Case Keenum we saw for the Minnesota Vikings, or even better, could we see that? That's the question I asked. And the results, I think they speak for themselves a little bit. And 71% of Broncos country said yes, and 29% said no. So 71% said yes, we're willing to give Case Keenum another chance this season under a new experienced coaching staff with optimism, rather than calling for a new quarterback every single time he does something wrong, which I know there was a lot of that. Unfortunately, the Broncos didn't have anybody, but the Broncos will look to address quarterback one way or another. And Cam, I think that kind of brings us back to John Elway's comments on being a short-term fix.
Yeah, it does. And I feel like Case Keenum is in this kind of rare boat. Now, granted, they always say the competition breeds the best out of people. And I feel like Case Keenum is a true representation of that. Now, he may not have had, say, the best quarterbacks surrounding him, per se. But, I mean, if you look at it and you go back and you look at the season that he had with the Minnesota Vikings, or just going in the beginning, he was not the starter, per se. I mean, going into training camp and going into OTAs for the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, it was Sam Bradford and the health of Teddy Bridgewater. And then all of a sudden, just Case Keenum just comes out of nowhere and just blows doors off of everybody down in training camp and has arguably an MVP type season. And people want to argue it, but he threw a beautiful ball to Stephon Diggs on that Minnesota miracle for the win over against the Saints. Now, I think that's sort of that rare thing where he did not necessarily have a quarterback competition this year with the Denver Broncos. And so if they do decide, the Broncos, and do decide and admit by drafting a first-round quarterback that Case Keenum is a short-term fix, then we very well might see a much better Case Keenum because, again, competition breeds the best out of people. And as we saw with the Case Keenum in Minnesota, he was a bona fide MVP candidate. Again, some people may not want to admit that, but there were like 8 to 9 straight games where his touchdown interception ratio was impressive. He was taking care of the ball. He was also taking chances. It was a great mixture of what should have been with the Denver Broncos and certainly with the play skill set that the Broncos have. So I personally think we will see a much better Case Keenum because of the amount of experience and everything surrounding the potential staff with Rick Scangarello. But who knows, Cody? I mean, really, who knows? I mean, we're talking about this in February. Who knows? Let's just say the Broncos do draft a guy in the first round. We've seen too often sometimes guys just blow the doors off as far as a draft pick coming into training camp. So it certainly is a possibility that if the Broncos do draft a quarterback in the first round, that maybe he does win the battle at a training camp over Case Keenum.
I don't think there's going to be that scenario, to be honest with you. The Broncos' goal right now, and this is coming from some people I've talked to inside the organization, the goal is if the Broncos do, in fact, bring in a quarterback, they're going to address it in one way or another, whether it's free agency coming up this next month or whether it's the NFL draft. You know, everyone's already locked in on Drew Lock, which would be a cool pun for Locked On Broncos. But the key is they want a quarterback that's going to be behind Case Keenum. Going back to John Elway's short-term fix comments, they want someone behind Case Keenum to develop and learn and maybe work on a couple of things before they get thrown into the NFL fire. We see too often young quarterbacks thrown into the NFL, they're not ready, they take a beating, and then they're not in the league in 2 to 3 years. Some quarterbacks, like if you're Patrick Mahomes, for example, you know, you have that freak scenario where you get a guy that's just absolutely phenomenal as an athlete. He makes plays happen. His quarterback play is elite already in his first year. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes' case is a rare example of what you see. We saw good vibes and obviously flashes from Carson Wentz at the beginning. You know, injuries have kind of hindered him a little bit. He's kind of taken a step back this season compared to where he was last season or the year that he was actually an MVP candidate before tearing his ACL. So I think there's a lot of things that the Broncos are factoring into their considerations for what they want to do with quarterback position. Now, short-term fix, you know, that's not like, okay, Case Keenum has 1 year, we're done with him. If Case Keenum plays really well in 2019, more than likely you'll see see him play out the remainder of his contract. I'm not saying necessarily an extension unless he puts up tremendous MVP-type numbers, you know, for that matter. But they're going to focus on getting in a young guy to come in, develop, and obviously learn and be ready to play when Case Keenum's time in Denver is over. And, you know, they want to get a guy ready in case Case Keenum does get hurt. I mean, right now, the Broncos were going into 2018 with Kevin Hogan after they released Chad Kelly. Nobody was confident, really, in Kevin Hogan's ability to come in if Case Keenum got hurt and lead this Broncos team to wins. It's just something that was very, very unlikely. So they're going to be very patient with this quarterback position. They want to learn from it, and that's exactly what John Elway and company plans on doing. Coming up here in segment number 2 and 3, we're getting into Super Bowl 50, our recap of that, what it was like from our perspective going into that game, the whole notion of where we were, you know, what our reaction was during the game. I didn't even tweet on Twitter. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a second. But before we get into that, I got to remind you guys that the Locked On Nuggets podcast is rocking and rolling. And guess what? The Nuggets, they're on national TV tonight, taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. Check out Locked On Nuggets and Adam Ades tonight to get a preview of that matchup and what the Nuggets are doing coming off of a 2-game losing streak, where their struggles are at defensively, rotation-wise, what's going on with the Nuggets and this 2-game skid. They hope to get back on track tonight on the road at Philadelphia. Check it out at Locked On Nuggets, at Adam Ades, Denver Stiffs. Super Bowl 50 was a tremendous, tremendous time, I think, for Broncos country. You know, it was something that I know I cling on to a lot when I talk about, you know, the pride that I think Broncos fans have in the team, the organization. Everyone always says, oh, don't talk about the past. Well, three years ago yesterday, the Broncos defeated the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. They traveled to Santa Clara, and this whole matchup, Cam, I just want to reflect on what it was like leading up into that matchup. You know, the Broncos going into that AFC Championship game against the Patriots, the national media absolutely just not giving the Broncos a chance, you know, destroying the Broncos' credibility, saying that their defense can't do anything, Peyton Manning and their offense won't be able to do anything, it's going to be a blowout, Tom Brady's going to go into Mile High and shred the Broncos. I remember that whole entire narrative. And that didn't happen. The Broncos defense came prepared. The Broncos offense actually got off to a great start too, with Peyton Manning connecting twice with Owen Daniels for a touchdown. Tight end play a big, big factor in that matchup there, but I'm not going to spend too much time on that. You know, I think going into that matchup, the win in the AFC Championship game was monumental. Von Miller, epic performance once again, sacking Tom Brady, interception of Tom Brady, his offseason, and really everything like that was really motivated by how he performed in the regular season. I mean, it was very monumental having DeMarcus Ware there with Von Miller. Now, going into this matchup against the Carolina Panthers, the number one ranked offense in the National Football League, the reigning NFL MVP Cam Newton, nobody could stop the Panthers. The Panthers were destroying everybody. The Arizona Cardinals got blasted in the NFC Championship by the Carolina Panthers. It was blowout fashion. Carson Palmer absolutely just did horrendous in that game. The Cardinals, Larry Legend down there, Larry Fitzgerald, was not able to get things going, and the Carolina Panthers ran all over. I mean, Cam Newton was running the football. He was throwing the football pretty well that year, and they were scoring a lot of points, and they had a really good defense powered by Thomas Davis Sr. and Luke Kuechly. They were really legit, and they also had Jared Allen there, you know, future NFL Hall of Famer as well. This matchup, Cam, the media, national media, once again, didn't give the Broncos any respect or recognition. What were your thoughts on that initially before the game had even happened, but the national media and their stance on the Broncos would be destroyed or beaten worse to the effect that they were by the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 48?
I think for me, and there were a lot of thoughts, but I mean, obviously when the Broncos were obliterated in Super Bowl 48, my first initial reaction was hike the ball, have it be a successful hike, and have it be positive yardage. I mean, it sounds silly, but that was my thinking. And I think the best part, I think from my standpoint, that I thought that it was going to be a competitive Super Bowl was honestly the first play. And I think that seeing Manning connect to it was either Jacob Tammy, or it was to one of the tight ends, and it may have been
Jacob
Owen
Tammy
Daniels.
Wasn't on the team. It was Owen Daniels.
Sorry. I was thinking 48. Seriously, Owen Daniels. Yeah, he had connected to Owen Daniels on the very first play, but it was, and I think that at that moment it was like the Broncos didn't have any fear that once that moment hit, and even from the offense, and while it certainly seemed like a stalemate, you know, as far as the whole offense is combined, it gave them that confidence to go through that game. And on the defensive side of the ball, I was kind of interested to see, would they continue their hot play throughout the postseason? I mean, again, you know, we were certainly talking a little bit about, say, Jacksonville, back when Jacksonville was playing against New England, and they were up. And I was certainly speculating, you know, what was that road going to be like if they were to go to the Super Bowl? And I argue that it might end up being better than Denver's, just because of, you know, where they were in that playoff. But I mean, again, you know, think about it. I mean, they played up against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, and then they played New England at home, and then they played Carolina. And I think that, so the impressive thing for me was the sort of opponents that they played in that whole arena and the whole Super Bowl and up to the Super Bowl. And will they even come close to continuing that sort of momentum? And when you have a guy, a once in a generational talent who was not part of Super Bowl 48 to begin with, have maybe the greatest Super Bowl of a defensive performance than what Von Miller had. I mean, it was pretty impressive. And I think it's just seeing him alone set the tone in the first quarter with the strip sack and then having maybe DeMarcus Ware get the touchdown, but it ended up being Malik Jackson. I just think that everything that started from that moment on, plus when Peyton Manning threw that first pass to Owen Daniels, I thought really sort of set the tone for that entire game.
It really did, and that was something that got me excited, because I didn't speak the entire game during the Super Bowl. That was one thing I didn't do. I sat there, you know, in complete silence. I didn't even post on social media. I didn't post a single tweet. I didn't post a single Facebook post. I didn't do anything on social media that entire game. I had my fingers in my ears just to be able to focus on the game, because you have all these people at a Super Bowl party. They're just talking nonstop. I couldn't do it. Like, that was my whole thought process into that, you know, because I was really... The last time I got really excited for the Broncos to be in the Super Bowl was Super Bowl 48, and they just got absolutely blown out. I mean, from the very first place. So let's talk about like a time capsule moment there. The very first play for the Broncos, Super Bowl 48, Manny Ramirez, the snap goes over Peyton Manning's head, safety, first play of the game. First play of the game for the Broncos in Super Bowl 50 against the Carolina Panthers. Owen Daniels picking up a 15-yard reception, catch and run. That right there was a different flavor for the Broncos, and it set the tone for the game. It really did, because, you know, for a 12-4 team, the Broncos offense wasn't that good. They were struggling big time. The Broncos predominantly in 2015 were carried by that defense, and that was evident, absolutely evident, you know, throughout the entire course of the season. Go back to week one against the Baltimore Ravens, Aqib Talib, pick six, and then David Bruton game-winning interception tipped off by Darian Stewart on the last play, where the Ravens could have actually scored a touchdown to win the game. The Broncos defense came up big. Kansas City, Thursday night football, Bradley Roby scoop and score, touchdown. The Broncos win that game as well. The Broncos defense came up big in so many ways, especially go back to that Steelers game, the divisional round. Bradley Roby knocking that ball out of the running back's hand. The Broncos recovering. C.J. Anderson getting the ball, scoring a touchdown. That put the Broncos up to win that game. That was all huge, and it's just an accumulation of how dominant that defense was.
I agree, and I think that the one thing for me that I thought was so telling in the Super Bowl was it was almost like a reincarnated game of the AFC Championship game in a way, because now it certainly was a lot closer in the AFC Championship game, but Cody, was there ever really a moment, I mean, aside from maybe the last minute, obviously with the AFC Championship game, but really, was there ever really a moment in that Super Bowl where you felt that Carolina was going to get ahead at some point? I mean, the way that game started to unfold, I started to feel I was stressed. Obviously, I'm not going to, you know, belittle that, because I mean, I was stressed out of my mind with it being the Super Bowl. But to me, though, it's felt like Denver had control of that game from the defensive standpoint, and there wasn't really anything that Carolina could do. And they actually knocked Cam Newton out of its rhythm. I mean, he was errant on a lot of throws in that first and second quarter.
Yeah, he really was, and they did a very good job of getting to him. I think mentally, the Broncos destroyed Cam Newton's psyche a little bit. He hadn't been used to all year being hit, being pressured, being sacked the way that he was. Now, I think what really kind of changed the narrative for the game that gave me some confidence, some hope in this in Super Bowl 50 was the fact that, you know, the Broncos' first drive ends in a field goal. I mean, they scored points. 3 points is better than zero, which we had saw consistently throughout 2015 with the Broncos' offense. You know, you go up 3-0, your defense comes out, you get a touchdown, Malik Jackson recovers the Von Miller, you know, fumble, strip sack, and they go up 10-0. Now, at this point, I was like, okay, well, the Broncos' defense has been so stingy, so aggressive, so dominant that really the Panthers are going to have to do whatever they can to be aggressive. And the Broncos' defense can play. You know, they could continue to keep the foot on the pedal under what Wade Phillips had planned for them. Their design defensively was so brilliant. They had the guys to make it work. You had Kayvon Webster coming in, playing a role player role on defense as well as special teams. But, you know, the thing I will never forget is just how often the Broncos got to Cam Newton. I mean, they made his life a living hell. He was squirming. He was trying to find ways. And, you know, he was, you know, pulling out his ear strap on his helmet. He was, you know, slamming his hands on the ground, throwing a fit. You know, and that was one of the things that the Broncos didn't like, Cam Newton taunting all the time, dabbing after every little thing. You know, you pick up a first down, it was a, let's say a 3rd and 3, you pick up the first down, you know, he taunts, he dances, he does these other things. And we saw that carry over into the rematch the following season when Trevor Siemian became the quarterback. The Broncos won that game, but you know, the Broncos didn't like that, you know, so the Broncos made Cam Newton pay for it. I remember Cam Newton having a rough day, throwing temper tantrums, and they really couldn't get anything going. Greg Olsen, I think they matched Chris Harris Jr. up a lot on Greg Olsen. The Broncos' defensive game plan, you know, it was really, really, you know, well-planned, well-executed by Wade Phillips. T.J. Ward, big, big game there. I mean, think about it. He forced fumble on Mike Tolbert. Also, an interception. Also, the fumble recovery following Von Miller's second strip sack that he had had. T.J. Ward had the game of his life, and he was very underrated. His presence on the field was so tremendous for the Broncos in 2015 in that Super Bowl. Von Miller's impact was unbelievable. DeMarcus Ware had an unsung impact as well. It didn't really show up in terms of, you know, tremendous sack coverage. I mean, I believe him and Von Miller had Von had 2.5 sacks. I think DeMarcus Ware had 2 sacks in that matchup as well, if I'm not mistaken. Aqib Talib had a couple of penalties, you know, big penalties, but the Broncos bent, they didn't break. He had that missed field goal attempt. You know, all that stuff for the Broncos came up big defensively. It was almost as if it was meant for them to go out and win Super Bowl 50 the way it did. And think about how it played out. Peyton Manning, injury, plantar fascia injury throughout the regular season. Brock Osweiler steps in. No momentum week 17 against the Chargers. The Broncos, if they lose that game, could potentially miss the playoffs. They win. They're the number one seed. They ended up winning because Peyton Manning came in the second half, managed the game, orchestrated a great drive. Same thing against the Steelers game. He didn't really have these fancy stats or anything like that, but they progressed to the AFC Championship. Brady versus Manning for the 7th time. And then all of a sudden, 2 touchdowns in the first half. And all of a sudden, there's this good feeling. There's just like, wow, you know, this is it. I mean, this is like a storytale. I mean, Hollywood couldn't have written a better script for how the Broncos season was playing out. You beat Tom Brady. You go to Super Bowl. And guess what? The narrative. You win the Super Bowl. You ride off in the sunset as a world champion. And you can retire on top, going out on a high note. I mean, the way that it had ended for the Broncos and that 2-point conversion. One thing I'll never forget, the whole offensive line, the whole offense in that huddle, going, Peyton effing Manning. You know, I can't say it on air, but, you know, Peyton bleeping Manning. You go back on the soundbite inside the NFL, they were all chanting Peyton effing Manning. I love that. That is, to me, what signifies what it meant for the Broncos to win Super Bowl 50. And I tell you what, Cam, despite all the negativity from the national media saying that, you know, the media didn't even give the Broncos a chance. Some guys really did. I think it was two media members. And I just saw a Twitter thread on this too. 2 media members gave the Broncos a chance, but everybody else had the Panthers winning and had them winning by multiple scores. And they had Cam Newton going for over 350 yards passing, 150 yards rushing. It was almost just asinine, the kind of assumptions that many people had made regarding the Broncos in Super Bowl 50. That's always a fun thing to watch. I put it on my Oculus Go, my virtual reality headset. I get to watch Super Bowl 50 and the AFC Championship. That's one thing I always like to go back and watch. It was a great game, great experience. Obviously, Peyton Manning retiring the next season, but the Broncos are looking to get back to that same exact feeling in 2019. It'll take some time. Experience matters. Getting the right guys in the right position ultimately matters the most. And that's exactly what the Broncos aim to do in 2019. Starting up here, aggressive free agency period coming up. We have the free agency frenzy. We're covering you guys over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. As always, NFL draft approaching in April, OTAs, minicamp, training camp. We are there for all that action to give you guys the best coverage of all things Broncos related. Once again, thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Appreciate you guys. As always, enjoy your weekend and go Broncos.